Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Visioneering Technologies Q2 quarterly conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Stephen Snowde, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Australia, and good evening to those in the United States. This is Stephen Snowde, Chief Executive of Visioneering Technologies. I'm joined on the call by our Interim Chief Financial Officer, Brian Lane, and we welcome you to our quarterly investor call for the quarter ended June 30th, 2018. After summarizing the results of the quarter, we'll open the call to questions as usual. All dollar amounts we'll discuss today are denominated in US dollars. Before we get started, I'd like to properly welcome Brian Lane. Brian, could you tell the group a little about yourself?
Yes, Stephen, thanks. Good morning, everyone, and good evening to those in the U.S. Quick background on myself. I began my career at EY in Atlanta, where I spent 11 years serving both public and private companies with a focus mostly on smaller, high-growth companies. Since EY, I've worked as Chief Financial Officer, Chief Accounting Officer, or Controller, primarily for public companies in a pretty diverse mix of industries. These companies ranged from $30 million in revenues to up to $2 billion in revenues. Most recently, I spent 4 years as CFO of OnePath, which is an Atlanta-based private equity-backed services company that I helped grow to more than tripling revenues and earnings during my tenure. I've managed multiple acquisitions, a spin-off from a public company into a private company, and then the sale of a public company to a private equity firm, and the sale of OnePath from private equity firm to another. A lot of transaction-oriented work. I've been with VTI for several weeks now, and I'm very excited to work with Stephen, Tony, the board, and the rest of the team. As a contact lens wearer for over 40 years myself, I appreciate their dedication to helping patients see better. The progress to date is impressive, and I intend to give my best efforts to help continue the momentum.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Just as a refresher for everybody, we sell in the United States and soon outside the United States, contact lenses, the flagship of which is a revolutionary contact lens called NaturalView Multifocal. NaturalView Multifocal contact lenses are daily disposable lenses that are sold by eye care professionals to two very special patient segments that total over $5 billion of addressable market in the United States. The first of those patient segments is composed of people over the age of 40 who are losing or have lost their ability to see things in close proximity to their faces, such as phones, books, aging spouses, even their own faces in the case of a mirror. This condition is called presbyopia, and almost everyone over the age of 45, unfortunately, suffers from presbyopia. The other patient segment who is being prescribed NaturalView Multifocal lenses is composed of children who are nearsighted and getting worse. It's a condition called pediatric myopia, and this is a progressive disease that affects a third to a half of U.S. children. That's about double what it was 30 years ago and affects 80%-90% of the children in industrialized Asian nations. Unfortunately, not being able to see distance is not the medical issue for myopic people. The medical issue is that these individuals are at very high lifetime risk for blindness and other serious ocular diseases. Minimizing the amount of myopia they develop in childhood is important, which is why our lenses are being used in this population. In addition to selling our multifocal contact lenses, we are also selling optically simple lenses called NaturalView Spheres for the uncomplicated correction of distance vision in adults. Before we get into the numbers, though, it's worth reminding investors that VTI sells its lenses to fulfillment companies, which in turn sell the lenses to eye care professionals, or ECPs. That's an acronym we'll use quite a bit today. In past quarters, we've reported to you net revenue as an indicator of demand of our products from ECPs and patients, though owing to the timing of purchases by fulfillment companies and the accruals and adjustments taken to get to net revenue, especially around the time of new product launches like the ones that we just completed in second quarter, net revenue is only a rough representation of consumption of our products by the end users. We have recently been able to access from our fulfillment partners more reliable data on the shipments of products to ECPs from the fulfillment partners. And we consider shipments to ECPs to be a much more meaningful and real-time readout on the demand from prescribers and wearers of our lenses. With the value of shipments to ECPs in mind going forward, we will start reporting this most important metric in addition to net revenue. And just for clarity, shipment to ECPs represents the dollar value of shipments from the fulfillment companies to the eye care professionals, but at the price that BTI charges its fulfillment partners. Growth in shipments to ECPs has been strong and consistent since the IPO. In the second quarter that we just finished up, shipments to ECPs were $683,000, representing a 40% growth over first quarter shipments. First quarter shipments were also strong, by the way, at $489,000, which was 50% over the previous quarter, the fourth quarter of 2017. We think that the growth in shipments to ECPs is reflective of the medical value that we're providing patients and practitioners and the continued efforts of the sales and marketing organization in starting up accounts and getting them moving and buying product. Increasing brand awareness and in-market experience and learnings have also been important in seeing the growth in the shipments to ECPs. Net revenue for the quarter ended June 30th was just over $607,000 and was impacted again by higher than usual accruals related to new product rollouts. Active accounts, which are accounts that purchased product during the quarter, grew to 1,149, which was a 22% increase over the number of active accounts at the close of the first quarter. We should point out that our operational emphasis is now shifting from one of starting new accounts to one of increasing revenue within the account. With the success of our territory managers, or what we call PMs, and starting accounts and growing shipments to ECPs, we feel our best return on investment of resources over the next 12 months will be growing and maximizing sales in our newly created accounts versus adding to the roster of PMs, though we will continue, of course, to evaluate for the right timing of adding to the TM roster. Speaking of in-account growth, though early, the transition from account creation to account revenue growth is going well. There are 269 accounts with $2,000 or more in the trailing 12-month sales, 84 of which are above $5,000. There are several accounts above $20,000 in trailing 12-month sales, with our largest account having reached $50,000 in trailing 12-month sales, so pretty impressive. And just to give you some perspective on that, our goal is for accounts to reach $5,000 to $12,000 per year at maturity, with maturation taking 2 to 4 years. We ended the quarter with approximately $7 million in the bank, with gross cash outflow during the quarter of $5.6 million, offset by cash receipts from customers of $578,000. Gross cash outflows in the third quarter are expected to decrease relative to second quarter, as focus on the current roster of PMs relieves the need for building diagnostic lens sets that would be required by the building of new territories. In international news, we remain on track to launch outside the United States in 2018, starting with Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Hong Kong via distribution partners. And what that means is that we will continue to focus our in-house sales staff only in the U.S. and utilize the sales staff of distributors outside the U.S. and leverage their already existing infrastructures. And product news, in June, we launched an improved sphere lens that in clinical trials showed excellent performance with regard to comfort and vision and has resulted in a great response from ECPs. Sphere lenses are the most commonly prescribed lens in most practices, so it is important for us to have a great sphere product, which we now have. We also launched in June expanded powers for the multifocal contact lens line, which makes us the only company to have multifocal daily disposable lenses in quarter diopter steps all the way throughout the entire power range. Natural View Toric remains in iterative development. We'll continue to perfect this lens as it is important It's an important gating factor for the revolutionary natural view toric multifocal, but will not likely launch the toric commercially until the natural view multifocal toric is ready for launch in 2019. So in summary, we are quite pleased with the successful building of high-quality accounts over the first half of the year, and with the early metrics that describe the transition of focus from building the number of accounts to building depth within the accounts. And with that, we can switch over to Q&A and take some questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask a question. Your first question comes from Maddie Smith from Canaccord Ingenuity. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stephen, and thanks for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on providing a lot more color in terms of the business. It's really helpful to get this level of detail and insight, because otherwise we're all absolutely guessing on it. I guess I just want to confirm on the information you've provided around account maturation. Is that – sorry, there's someone really typing loudly. Can you put your phone on mute? Thank you. Are you going to be providing sorry, will the person who's typing there put their phone on mute, please?
I don't hear anything. That is.
Oh, don't you? Maybe it's my
phone.
Maybe
the one in your head.
Yeah, that's a cranky one. Are you going to be providing that account maturation data going forward?
We'll provide it periodically. We haven't determined yet the periodicity of that reporting, but we do think that the transparency is important. We want to provide that. We just want to make sure to provide the data with the periodicity that makes it reliable.
Yep, and
whether that is quarterly or semi-annually, we haven't decided yet. But we do agree that it's important information, and we will be providing it.
Oh, look, it is really helpful, because it does kind of provide a lot more insight into where it's going, and equally the having the shipments to the customers rather than to your fulfillment provider. I guess just firstly, in terms of, you know, there's clearly been a little bit of a shift in the strategy of holding the sales team and maybe focusing more on existing accounts rather than new accounts. So I guess the first question in terms of my numbers, so I should be really looking at a much slower rate of account adoption going forward, certainly in the next, say, 6 to 12 months. Would that be correct?
I would look at a slower rate of new account additions over the next 6 to 12 months, reflective of the smaller sales force. Yes.
Yep. And would the thinking behind that? I mean, I know on the last roadshow you stated that one of the learnings has been that it, many of these guys like to dabble, and it takes longer than was expected. Is the reflection? Is that being the driver to say, actually, probably the smartest thing right now is to get better adoption in those existing accounts rather than just keep adding to the pile?
Yeah, I would characterize it more as revenue has a cost, and the revenue that we're building right now within the existing accounts has the lowest cost of acquisition.
Yeah.
And we should continue to build on that revenue at the lower cost of acquisition, because we already have all the accounts signed up. We have this sales force trained. We've learned a lot about how to sell the product and train the practitioners. The revenue that we can squeeze out of the current territory managers is much less expensive than revenue that we would be buying with a whole new slew of them.
Yeah, and equally, I guess, if people are dabbling, the time frame for getting new revenue is a lot shorter in an existing account than what it would take to get a new account up to, say, the $2,000 mark.
Yeah, you're correct about that. But again, our view of things and the board's view of things is let's get the most efficient revenue possible and the most highest quality durable revenue possible for right now, versus just going for, purely revenue without regard to its expense or quality.
Yep. And I have to say, I mean, certainly the revenue and account new account numbers are slightly softer than I was forecasting, but you know, still 40 to 50% quarter on quarter is not to be sniffed at. Is that sort of a reasonable number to use going forward, or the fact that you are going to be focusing on growing the revenue in existing accounts means that that rate, quarter on quarter growth rate, may be higher than the historical 40 to 50%?
I think it's, you know, like we've always said, you know, the business is seasonal. It goes up and down. It's a lot smoother now looking at shipments to ECPs versus net revenue. It's much more real time. But that said, you know, it still makes sense, I think, to average across some quarters, even with regard to the shipments to ECPs. And, you know, we think that'll be a reasonable estimation going forward. It's also reasonable, you know, to expect some acceleration as the repurchases start to come in. As you know, it takes time to sign up an account, to build up the initial patients who are wearing the lenses, and then eventually start to see the repurchases. The repurchases should accelerate things, so it's a reasonable expectation. But, you know, this is the first time we've done this. You know, we're looking at the historical and saying history is probably reasonable.
Okay, so if we start there, it's not a silly place to be starting, and then you know, see how those factors play out, and either making it, you know, slightly higher or slightly lower as it becomes harder to do percentages growths on larger numbers.
Yep. Agreed.
Second thing, and I guess this is probably the elephant in the room for many people, looking at the cash balance and the And you know, the cash needs, it sort of looks to me you've certainly got less than two quarters of cash in the bank. And I know when you were out here previously, you were discussing financing options and potential of debt or debt and equity. Presumably that's moved up the hierarchy and is something that will be addressed in this coming quarter.
I don't know that it'll be this quarter. You have to remember that not hiring the next cohort of territory managers, not undergoing any more expansion in the near term, does have some cash savings associated with it.
Yep.
But you are right that cash will be needed in the coming quarters, and we're in much stronger position now, I think, with this, armed with this ECP shipment data than we were in before. And, you can expect within the next couple of quarters we would have to raise some cash. We're talking about that now. The board is discussing it and looking at the option.
Okay. I mean, on my numbers, you'll be well and truly out of cash by the end of the year, but maybe I'm a little bit aggressive on those numbers. And I guess I just have a final question for Brian, seeing you showed your hand. Are you currently wearing the Natural View lenses?
Very good question. I am not yet. I plan to get fitted. My wife actually got fitted 2 days ago, and she's liking them so far.
But, oh, that's it.
So, yes, I will be soon.
That's great. I think every employee, if they can, should wear them. Okay, I'll jump off and let others ask questions. Cheers. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Matty.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Snowdy for closing remarks.
Well, as usual, we would like to express our appreciation for the Australian investment community, the service providers, our bankers, and most of all, our customers and the patients who are wearing our lenses. Our goal is to make people's vision better, and in the coming quarters, we will do everything we can to affect as many people as we can with regard to helping vision. And glad that you can be part of it. And we'll look forward to talking to you at the next Appendix 4C. And, of course, the next thing that you can expect from us with regard to periodic reporting is the Appendix 4D, which will be out by the end of next month. Okay, well, thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon.